Today's daf is Mem Tet. We're going to start at the two dots in the middle of Mem Chet Amabet. So if you remember, we had a machloket in the Mishnah between Rebbe and Tanakama about if I put my item in your reshut and you say it's okay, but the word reshut, by the way, is interchangeable here, right? Reshut means in your property, and it also means with your permission, right? So if I give you something, I put something in your property and say, do I have permission to do this? And you say you have permission to leave it here. Are you accepting, does that mean you accept responsibility of Shmirah, which according to Tanakama you do, and according to Rebbe, you don't, unless you say, yes, you can leave it here, and I'll watch over it. Okay? So, Itmar. There's a machlok and a mara'im who we paskin like, Rav amar hilchataka Tanakama, Ushmuel amar hilchataka Rebbe. Okay, now, interestingly enough, generally, there's a klal about Rav and Shmuel, that we paskin like Rav when it comes to Isurim. We spoke about this in Gitin, because we always paskin like Rav in areas of Get, let's say, because it's Isur V'Heter. When it comes to Dine Mamonot, we paskin like Shmuel. However, for some reason, I don't know why, but not all the poskim agree here with Shmuel. Okay, not everyone agrees that we actually paskin like Rebbe, like Shmuel says, even though generally we do paskin like Shmuel in Dine Mamonot. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a Braita. Okay, it's charted out here on the sheet, and it'll show you what exactly the contradiction is. It's going to be a contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer. This is going to be another one of those, it says this and you can infer that, and it says this and you can infer that, but the two inferences are going to contradict each other. So here's a Braita. Knos shorcha v'ushmaro. Bring in your shor, but watch it yourself. So, if hizik chayav. Right? Then obviously the owner is going to be chayav, because the owner of the shor, because the person said, bring it into my reshut, but you watch over it. But huzak patur. But if the animal gets injured, he's going to be patur. One second, why does this mean he's going to be patur? Because
let's say the homeowner is going to be patur.
Sorry, so then I'm explaining something wrong. Right, so if... Shmoro to, I'm sure it's Zeke.
It switches pronouns.
It switches.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's why. It doesn't make sense. Okay, so fine. So if you're supposed to, right, if you say, bring it into my property, but you watch over it, so if it damages, then I'm going to be responsible for damages because you didn't accept responsibility. And if it gets damaged, then you're going to be patur because you didn't accept responsibility. Kinos shorcha v'ani yishmerenu, but if you say, bring in your shor and I will watch it, huzak chayav hizik patur. Right, so then, if it gets damaged, you're going to be chayav to pay me damages because you accepted responsibility. And if it damages, then...
its owner.
Right, the owner's going to be patur. Right, then the owner's going to be patur for the damages it causes. So again, it switches. Anyway, now they say, Hagufa Kasha. Why is it Kasha? Because remember, what's the machloka between Rebbe and Chachamim? What about a Stam case, right? So now, these each imply that a Stam case is going to be the opposite of what this halach is. So if I'm in the Reisha, you said, Amarta Kenosh Rocha Ushmaro Hezik Chayav Uzak Patur. Ta'ama Da'amar Le Shmaro De'chayav Bala Shor Patur Bala Chatzir. Right? Because you said you watch your own shor, that's why the Bala Shor is Chayav. But the inference is that hastama, if you just said stam, you said bring it into my reshut, then chayav bala chatziru patur bala shur. Right? Now we're only talking about if the animal damages, not if the animal became damaged. So then we would assume that stama, the bala chatziru, is going to be chayav. Upatur bala chatziru. Upatur bala shur. De bistama, because the assumption is, bistama mekabal alei netiruta. But ema seifa, the opposite seems to imply what? Kenosh torchava ani yishmerenu. Only because you said ani yishmerenu do you accept responsibility. But if you had just said stam, what would we assume? Right, that this follows Rebbe, that only when you explicitly say I'm going to be a shomer. If you didn't explicitly say anything, then you're not going to be responsible. So huzak chayav ezik patur, tama da'amar le ani yishmerenu. Hu demechayev bala chatzeru patur bala shor. That's why the bala chatzer is chayav, because he said ani yishmerenu. Hastama, if you just said it's stam, chayav bala shor patur bala chatzer. Demestama lo mekabal alei netiruta. And that would be atan le Rebbe, right? So the first would be like chachamim, and the second would be like Rebbe. So now, right? Da'amar ad shekabel alei netiruta bala bayit lishmor. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so Reisha Rabbanan v'Seifa Rebbe. So the Reisha seems to imply Stam you would be a Shomer, and the Seifa seems to imply Stam you wouldn't be a Shomer. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, first answer is Tavra, Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo. Yeah, the Reisha is Chachamin, and the Seifa is Rebbe. We've seen this answer many times. Sometimes they bring two cases alongside each other. We're really, if you notice, by the way, I'm not sure if it's true in every case, but we should start paying attention. Almost positive that every time it gives that as an answer, there's some alternative answer. In other words, not everybody buys into that reading. It's a very difficult answer.
We've seen it much more in Nezikin than we've seen it anywhere else.
Yes, we have seen it a lot in Bava Kamma. Rava Amar, Kula Rabbanan hi. Okay, we're now going to have three answers. You can see them in the chart. Okay, the first answer is Rabbi Elazar. The second is Rava. What does Rava say? Kula Rabbanan. Everything here is Chachamim. How do you explain the Seifa then? So I did nasiv reisha shmaro tana seifa vani yeshmarenu. They're just bringing the opposite case. It doesn't mean that the stama case would be we can derive in each case the stama is going to be the opposite. No, since the first case said you watch it, because remember the stama, the first case according to Chachamim, is going to be if you don't say you watch it yourself, then the assumption is the Baal HaChatzir took responsibility. So therefore, it needed to say and you watch it to show then you're not responsible. But because it said it that way, the Seifa took the opposite case. It doesn't mean that the in-between is otherwise. So that's one way of reading it, which is also a very typical answer, given that the Mishnah will, or a Braita or anything, here's a Braita, it's going to use the same language it used in one and just give the next case as the opposite. But it doesn't mean you can always derive things from it. Rav Papa Amar, Kula Rebbe hi. Now I'm going to explain the whole thing according to Rebbe. That really what? You have to actually accept Shmira. So the first case where you said, and you watch it, you really didn't need to say that, right? Because Stama, if you just said, yeah, bring it into my Chatzir, you wouldn't be accepting responsibility. But why does it say here, Chayav and Patur? Because the Savralak, in other words, in the case of Shmaro, what do we say? Hizik Chayav, right? The Baal Ashur is going to be Chayav. Savralak Rabbi Tarfon. Damar, Karen b'chatzeren izak nezek shalem b'shalem. Hilchach, okay, so now we're going to have to say, we saw this the other day, right? I think it was yesterday, that Rabbi Tarfon has this unique shita that if you gore someone, an animal gores someone in the private property of the owner, then he's more responsible than usual. Instead of being half damages a short time, he pays full damages. So, therefore, what? Hilchach, Amar le shmaro, if I say, bring it into my reshut, then it's automatically b'chatzar and izak. Okay? Stam. But if I say, bring it into my reshut, but you watch over your animal, then lo machne le makom b'chatzar, then what's happening? I'm sorry, I didn't say it right a minute ago. Let's repeat that. If you say, when I bring my shor into your chatzar, and you say, but watch it, what are you basically saying? You're bringing something into my field. That's Karen B'chatzer and Isaac. You follow? Because I'm not allowing you to be there. So I'm allowing you to come in, but I'm telling you to watch it. If I'm telling you to watch it in my field, that's going to be like Chatzer and Isaac. So therefore, so lo machne le makom b'chatzer, v'havi le chatzer b'karen and Isaac, v'karen b'chatzer and Isaac, mishalem nezek shalem. So therefore, when it says chayav, it means he's chayav full damages. Lo amar le shmaro, but if he doesn't say to him shmaro, then aknuye machne le makom b'chatzer, right? If he says, I'll watch it, then what does it mean? He's giving him his property to use. V'havi le chatzer ha-shutafin. Then it becomes like joint property, because he's saying, I'm lending you space, right? Like storage space. Giving you storage space to leave your shore, becomes a chatzar shutafin. V'karem b'chatzar shutafin, eino mashalem ela chatzin nezen. So when it says patur in the second part, it means patur me full damages. Okay? That's how we read it. So then that would be a whole unique understanding of this whole thing, right?
So is there any distinction between not giving him permission and giving him permission but saying watch it? In both cases, you'd have to pay full damages.
So if he says, I think then it would depend on whether you're Rebbe or Chachamim, about whether you'd have to explicitly state and I will watch it or not. That's what the Stam case would be. Would then be a debate between them. And the, you know, would this go like one side or the other, right? According to Rav Papa, he says the whole thing is Rebbe. In other words, it's all Rebbe who says you have to explicitly, this is all reading it as, this is Rebbe who says you have to explicitly state it. So then the question is, once you explicitly state it though, what's your level of responsibility? In other words, you explicitly stated, yes, I'm going to be a shomer. You explicitly stated, no, I'm not going to be a shomer. And then, right, so the question, I guess what you're saying is, what would Rebbe say?
The distinction between giving
if it's just stump,
not watching it.
Right. If you just said, bring it in. Right. If you just said, bring it in, then maybe, right, it's a good question. I'm not sure what he would say in a total, in a stump case, how he would view this. Yeah. Not sure. Okay, it's a good question. Okay, new Mishnah. Shor shayam et kaven lechavero v'hika et ha'isha. V'yatsu yiladeha patur mitumei v'ladot. If a shor was intending to kill a person, or gore a person, and ended up accidentally hit, I'm sorry. Gored an animal, sorry. If a shor was intending to gore an animal, and instead hit a woman, and her children, right, she was pregnant, and she lost the baby, she miscarried. Patur midmei vladot. Okay, he doesn't have to pay the value of the fetus. Now, this is a, okay, the net, let me read one more case and then we'll go back. But in contrast to the shor, if Adam shayam et kaven lechavero, now remember that's the pasuk, right? They're fighting, these two guys are fighting, and they accidentally hit the pregnant woman, and she loses her baby, then he has to pay the demei vladot. So in a case where he was mitkaven for somebody else, v'yikah et ha'isha, v'yatsu yiladeha, mishalem demei vladot. Then he has to pay the demei vladot. Now, Rashi automatically comes in and says here, wait a minute. The shor case doesn't matter if he's mitkaven l'chavero or if he's mitkaven to kill the woman. It doesn't matter. No matter what, he doesn't pay demei vladot. If you remember, we learned that. Do you remember we had that Bala Shor Naki? We have five things that we derive from Bala Shor Naki, five different options. One of them was patur midmei vladot. A shor is always patur midmei vladot. So this goes back to what we just said earlier, is why did it say then, shor shayam et kaven l'chavero? Because it wants to parallel it to the following. And as the next case is the Adam case. Okay, that Adam is mitkaven l'chavero, but kills the woman, right?
Well,
then he's chayav demei
vladot.
Ah, so they learn that from Bala Shor Naki. They just say that the shor is not responsible for that. It's, I guess the, yeah, why exactly? Right, I'm not sure why. Why would he be patur from demei vladot?
You know, there's no other place where it's analyzed and compared and
I don't think so. I think part of it might have to do with intent, and he doesn't know the difference between a pregnant woman and another woman. And
but it's still damages.
It still damages, right. It still damages. Yeah. I think it's more the reverse, which is we don't usually, and we'll see this, I think this is really what it comes down to. We don't usually view a woman in terms of her value with a baby, without a baby. When do we do that? When you have a slave. A slave, their children are valued. This person's worth more because, technically speaking, she's going to have babies that are now going to work for you. They have monetary value for you. When you're pregnant, you don't feel like, oh, my value is worth more because I have a baby inside. It's not, it doesn't really work like that. I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit today, but we're going to see that with the shifcha, you do pay, the shor does pay the damages. Because a shor, a shifcha is viewed like an animal, whereas an animal is worth more if he has vladot because you want more, you know, animals to work for you. When it's not an issue of somebody working for you, the woman doesn't work for anybody, so she's not worth more necessarily when she's pregnant. We're going to even see that her value is less when she's pregnant. And why is that? Because of death and childbirth. It was very risky being pregnant. A pregnant woman was, number one, very weak. She wasn't very usable for anything. And number two, there was a high risk of death. Whereas once the baby's born, the risk is gone already. So there's that aspect also. But I also think that it's a unique halacha. In other words, this whole thing of ki natsu anashim v'nadfu ishara is a unique halacha about having to pay the demei vladot. And since it only appears by ki natsu anashim and it doesn't appear by an animal, so then we don't think it applies by an animal. And then we have the Bala Shor Naki to kind of exclude something, so we say, oh, that must come to tell you it's not relevant. So I think that it's more, why is it a chidush that we actually pay the demei vladot, as opposed to why don't we pay it for the shor? And then that's a simple answer, because the Torah was Machadish HaHalacha there. Okay, so now the question is, Ketzav Meshalem Dmei Vladot. How do you evaluate? We saw this with the shore, right? What did we say? You don't evaluate what's the value of the fetus on its own once it's born. What do we say? We evaluate how much the animal's worth, how much you would buy an animal that's pregnant versus how much would you buy an animal that's not. So, Shaminita Isha Kama Hi Yafa Ad Shelo Yalda V'Kama Hi Yafa Mi Sheyalda. Okay? That's the first opinion. Exactly the same as an animal. Amaron Shimon Ben Gamliel, he doesn't like this, because what does he say? Imken mishayoledet mishabachat. You're going to end up paying her less, because she's actually worth more once the baby's born. And that's for the reason I said earlier, which is that she is potentially going to die. So therefore, ela shaminet havla, or because she's weaker, ela shaminet havladot kamehen yafin vinotein labal. Okay, so now we evaluate what's the value of the fetus itself. How much would somebody, you know, I guess, right? We're going to see exactly. There's going to be two opinions of how to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel in general. And then the Baal gets the value of the Vlad. Okay, so it's different from the animal, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? The first opinion is just like the animal. Shimon Gamliel says, no, we evaluate the fetus on its own. There's no way to evaluate the woman with the fetus because she's actually worth less. And that would defeat the whole purpose of this halacha. So therefore, and who does that money go to? The Dmei Vladot, it goes to the husband. And that's because the Pasuk said so. Right? That was what the Pasuk says. It says, do we have it here, right? In other words, it's the amount that the Baal Isha is going to put upon you. So it's going to go to her husband. Remember, we saw, even if he was just the Boel and not the Baal, right? Even if he had slept with her Biznut, he gets the money. Now, we're going to see also that maybe Rav Shimon ben Gamliel has some sort of in-between where she gets something also. We'll see that later when we try to understand his opinion. So right now, we think we understand his opinion, but we're going to see different readings of him. V'im ein la ba'al, and if she doesn't have a ba'al, noten li yorshav. Okay, let's say the ba'al died before the payment happened. Let's say he also got killed in the encounter. So, or he got killed later. So the yorshim get the money, okay? His yorshim, not her. Remember, she's not yoresh. His yorshim get the money, not her. Now we get to the shifcha case. Haitas shifcha v'nishtachara ogiyor. This is actually not the classic shifcha case. Now we're saying, if the woman was married, okay, here they, it's actually strange, because what the Mishnah is trying about seems to, the Mefarshim will explain that it's actually what the Mishnah is not saying that's more important, which is, the assumption is we're talking about someone who's married to a ger, or an Eved Kenani that was Mishuchrar. And therefore, we're calling her a Shipcha or a Giyoret, because chances are who is married to an Eved Mishuchrar or a Ger, it's going to be a Giyoret or a Shipcha Mishuchreret. So if they were married to someone who doesn't have Yorshim, because a Ger who dies doesn't have Yorshim, and an Eved Kenani is Mishuchrar, doesn't have Yorshim, okay, assuming he didn't have kids after he became a Jewish. So if it's then Patur. Then what happens? Since it doesn't go to her and it only goes to his yorshim, and his yorshim don't exist, so what happens? The owner, right, the guy who killed the woman, doesn't pay Dmei Vladot to anyone, because remember, the gear's money is going to be hefker, and if it's hefker and it's still in the guy's property because he never paid it, so he doesn't have to pay it to anybody.
So why do we have, it could be anybody who doesn't have yorshim. Yeah, any male who doesn't have yorshim.
No, because any male who doesn't have yorshim, it goes to his father, it goes to his, there's always somebody who's somewhat connected to him. A ger and Eved Mishuchrar have really no relatives. And you could always find, like in Rut and Boaz, you can always find some distant relative who has some connection that will get the money. Okay? Tov. Now we're going to go into the case. So first we're going to start with the first case. Okay? Tama de mitkaven l'chaviro. Okay, the assumption here is, with the shur, that it sounds like, right, shur shaya mitkaven l'chaviro. Ha mitkaven l'isha, mishalem t'mei v'ladot. Okay, this is what we saw before, right? This is Rashi already told us this. So it sounds like if you're mitkaven for the woman, then you would have to pay t'mei v'ladot. Le matavi t'yuvta t'rav ad bar'ava. Are we going to say that this contradicts Rav ad bar'ava? Da'am Rav ad bar'ava. By the way, there are people who disagree with him. Okay, but da'am Rav ad bar'ava shvarim shenitkavnu liisha p'turim midmei vladot. Okay, even if he aimed to attack the woman, he's still patur from midmei vladot. So even though I mentioned before that that's the halacha, there's a difference of opinion about it. Okay, it's not not everybody agrees that he's patur from tumei vlado, but Ad Barava certainly does, and they want to say, are we saying that this mishnah raises a contradiction? So no, they say Amar lecha Rav Ad Barava, hu adin dafilu nitkavnu liisha nami p'turim mitumei vlado. This is what we said already, right? Even if he was nitkaven liisha, why did he use that lashon? Had katani shor shayam nitkaven lechavero is because adi tkabaylam in a seifa, because it said in the seifa adam shayam nitkaven lechavero. And why did it use that case in the seifa? Dehachi k'tiv kra, because that's what the pasuk, that was the classic case in the pasuk. Therefore, katani reishanami shur shayam etkaven lechavero. Period. Okay. Amar of Papa. Now we're going to get to the Shibcha case. Okay, I mentioned it earlier, but now we're going to see it inside. Not the case that we saw before, but a case where it's the shur nagafet hashibcha. Okay, not necessarily about the yorshim, but shur shenagafet hashibcha biyatzu yeladeha mishalem dmei vladot. So why, if you attack a woman, do you not have to pay dmei vladot? But if you attack a shibcha, who we assume also is a woman, right? You'd have to pay dmei vladot. My taima, chamarta ma'avarta ba'almahu da'azik. He's basically mazik an animal, okay? Now, it doesn't mean that women are animals, and it doesn't mean shifcha is always treated like animals. For example, if you kill a shifcha, you're liable for death. We view her as a human being. However, what they mean to say is that she's viewed like an animal in the sense that she's the possession of a person, right? She belongs to someone just like the animals do. And again, like I said before, her offspring is potential money for this person because it's an eved. So just like the animals are potential workers for the person. To Amakra, and how do we know that she's like a chamor, right? This is where we get it from. Shvu lachem poem a chamor. We saw this in the past, right? With Avraham, he says to his Narim, go sit with the chamor, right? Am hadome lechamor. Okay, they darshan im as am. They were Knaanim, and we view Shivcha Knaani as am hadome lechamor. Okay. Unpleasant source, right? But again, you have to understand it in the right. We don't view them entirely as animals. It's just what we really mean to say is they're possessions. Okay, it's just the Gemara uses speaks in a very untactful manner about these things. But it's sort of they have keywords. In other words, when you say shor, what does it mean? Remember, we learned the whole damages of shor. Shor means your property. So when it says chamor, it means your property. So it's just saying that your slaves are your property, which as much as that's also not the most tactful thing to say, that is the way it actually works, right? That your slaves belong to you, you own them, and they are your property to a certain extent. Okay. Ketzam mishalem dmei vladot. So first the Gemara is going to say, they're not answering the question, ketzam mishalem dmei vladot, that we answered in the Mishnah. Remember, there was the machloket, Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But now they're going to question the lashon of the Mishnah. Dmei vladot v'shevach vladot mebaile. It should have said, who pays the dmei vladot and the shevach vladot? Now, we saw this with the animal. What did we see with the animal? The animal is worth more when it's pregnant for two reasons. Number one, there's an animal inside. Number two, what do we say? The animal is bigger. So number one, bigger, maybe stronger. It's got more fat on it, more meat. And the other thing, by the way, I think I forgot to mention, is its hide is more. There's more hide. It stretches. Right, like stretch marks, you think of women, right? It's not exactly the most positive thing, but with an animal, for sure there's the stretching of the hide. So now, we say not only for an animal is that true, but for a woman it's true. Now, if you remember, what did we say? The animal gets fat because it's eating more, because it's pregnant, but it's not necessarily all the weight of the fetus that's making it fatter, right? It's also gaining fat because it eats a lot. So the woman also, okay, here's a good assumption that it's good to be heavier. It's a positive thing, okay? She's worth more because she now has a bigger body, okay? So who gets the shevach? And it should have said there's also dmei vladot, the value of the fetus, but there's also the shevach to her body because she has this fetus inside. Now, even though before we kind of said that that's not a positive thing, right? We're going to have to figure that out. So hachi nami kamar. So now they say, that is actually what it says in the Mishnah. We do evaluate the whole thing. We evaluate, we look at the whole picture. The value of the fetus and the value of the mother, because now she's bigger. And we put that all together in the calculation. Okay. Amar Ashbag. Im ke mishayisha yoledet mishabacha. My Kamar. So first the Gemara says, what exactly is Rav Moshe Ben Gamliel saying? So now we're going to have Rabba's opinion and Rabba's opinion. Okay, we're at the bottom chart on the sheet if you want to follow. Okay, we have two opinions here. So comes Rabba and he says, Hachi Ka'amar. By the way, Rabba always will appear before Rabba in an argument. And that's very simple because Rabba is a generation before Rabba. Even though they lived at the same time, Rabba was senior to him. So Rabba always gets mentioned first. Generally, people are mentioned chronologically, certainly when there's a gap of a generation. Amar Rabba. Hachi Ka'amar. This is what he meant to say. V'chi isham shabachat kodem sheteled yoter mi la'achar sheteled. That's how we explained it, right? Is she worth more before she gives birth? No, she's obviously worth more after she gives birth because she survived the ordeal. Ella, and there's always a safek, maybe she won't make it when she's pregnant. Ella, shaminet havladot v'notnin labal. What's the purpose of his, what he's saying is, we're shamin the vladot and they go to the baal, right? Now, Tanya Nami Hachi, B'chi Yisham, and here's a bright that supports this reading. B'chi Yisham Shabacha Kodem Sheteled Yoter Mi La'achar Sheteled, V'lo Yisham Shabacha La'achar Sheteled Yoter Mi Kodem Sheteled. This, by the way, is obvious, because this is how I read the Mishnah. Ela Shaminet HaVlado V'notin La'baal. In other words, how do you do it? You're Shamin L'Vladot, and then you give that to the husband. Okay, in other words, because you can't evaluate the woman as she's pregnant, because it's not going to come out minus. You're going to come out, right? It's going to come out. She's going to be worth less, basically.
Michelle, yeah. Textually, I don't understand.
Yeah.
They just repeated
twice,
and I don't understand.
So that's why I said, right now it doesn't make so much sense because it's the exact same thing that we saw before. In other words, this is how we read the Mishnah. Is a woman worth more before she gives birth?
No, I understand. But I don't understand. It's my kamar, my rabba, hafi kamar, blah, blah, blah. And then it says it again.
No, so then it brings a braita that says exactly that.
It's a
braita that reads Rav Moshe Ben Gamliel exactly the same way. Now we say, Rava, though, has a different reading. Okay, this is going to be more the chidush. Until now, it's not really a chidush. Hachi katane, v'chi isha l'mi sheyoledet mishabachat, v'ein la'atzma b'shevach v'ladot klum. When a woman has the value of her fetus, right, so she's worth more because of that. Now, is it that she gives the shevach to the person she's giving birth for? You're going to love this one, right? In other words, the assumption is she's giving birth for her husband. And now, you'll like it, though, because in the end, that's what he's saying. He's saying, what? Is it only she's worth more because of what she's giving to her husband? But all of this goes to her husband and she doesn't get any of it. This goes back to what we said about the animal. That the animal, yes, the demay of Ladot, for sure, we understand, go to the husband. But what about the Shevach Vlad? Her body's now bigger because she's eaten more. She's now fuller. She should get part of that because that's her. So Ella, what does he say? Shaminet HaVlado V'notnim LaBaal. Okay, so the value of the Vlad does go to the husband. B'Shevach Vladot Cholkin. And when it comes to the value of her body that's more because she's fuller, well, that she's going to split between her and her husband. Okay, she gets half of that. So in the end, she gets, right, a half of the amount. Okay, we don't know if it's right. It's not it's necessarily exactly half. But we have, okay, let's get this straight. We have Demei Vladot go 100% to the husband. But the Shevach Vladot, okay, the amount that she's worth more of, gets split. Okay, she gets 50-50. And that's the Chidush of Rav Moshe Ben Gamliel according to this reading. Now you see what we need to read Rabba because he said what we said, but now this is an alternate reading of Rav Moshe Ben Gamliel. Okay? So now, and that obviously isn't the version that we have in our Mishnah. And Tanya Nami Hachi, and here's a braita that supports this reading. Okay, so Naomi, now you're going to see, there's a braita that reads exactly like this. Amar Rashbag, you have to remember what happens. Rabba and Rava are Amoraim having a machloket. But they each are bringing us support from a Tanaitic source that supports their reading. Tanya Nami Hachi, Amar Rashbag, V'chi Isha L'mishi Yoledet Mishabachat. This is going to be the exact same thing now, because he's basically basing it on this braita. Ve'ein la'atzma b'shevach v'ladot klum, ela shamin nezek b'fnei atzmo, v'tzar b'fnei atzmo. Here it's a little different, right? They're adding something. That a woman, we evaluate the damage caused to her and the tzar caused to her. V'shamin et havladot v'notnim la'ba'al, V'shevach ledot chokin. Okay, so then the shevach ledot, they're going to split. Okay. The Nezek and the Tzar goes to her, I believe. I wanted to just make sure. That's what it says, right? The Nezek and the Tzar, she gets herself. The Dmei Vladot, the husband gets. And then the Shevach Vladot, they split. Okay, so this Braita added an added aspect, which we weren't dealing with, the Tzar and the Nezek, which go to the Isha. Okay, they go to the woman herself. Okay, so now they say, well, based on this, okay, we now have two Braitot that contradict each other, right? Kasha de Rashbag ad Rashbag. But now it says, Rashbag says one thing, Rashbag says something else. So how could that be? So now we say, lo kasha. Kam b'mevakeret, kam b'she'ena mevakeret. Okay, what on earth is this? This means that in the case of mevakeret, okay, she's going to be, when he said that she's worth less, right, because what happened? In the second case, what did we say? The Shevach Vladot goes to her. That means, on the one hand, we say the Shevach Vladot goes to her. That means she's worth more. On the other hand, he said, but she's worth less. So how can you say she's worth more and she's worth less at the same time? So what do we say? We say that when we said she's worth less, that's in her first pregnancy. When we say she's worth more, that's in future pregnancies, that there's Shevach Vladot. So now, what's the logic of this? Okay, so there's right. So first of all, I should just point out that there is an opinion of Rabbeinu Baruch who says it's the opposite. It's Dafka, the first birth. Maybe I'll start with that one. He says the first birth, there's an increase in her value because as you see, she can get pregnant and have a viable pregnancy that increases her value. Whereas once that's established, her value stays the same and it doesn't actually go up in a future pregnancy. So that's how he explains it. But that's not exactly right because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was saying her actual value diminishes, so in one of the readings. So anyway, the other opinion, which is the basic opinion that most people agree with, is that in the first pregnancy, it's much more likely she's going to miscarry. Okay, whether that's true or not, I don't know, in those days, right, when women died in childbirth, or really dying in childbirth, not miscarriages. It could be the strength of the flexibility of the muscles. It could be the emotional trauma of the first birth. It's much more traumatic for the body. It's not used to it. We do know that generally labors are somewhat longer the first birth. So imagine in those days when they didn't, right, a prolonged labor is going to increase chances of problems going on. Could be the young age of the mother. She's very, you know, they got pregnant very young and their body wasn't strong enough to handle it. So that's another possible reason. Okay? Whereas once she already carried to full term, had a baby, then the assumption is she's more likely to make it through other ones. Again, whether this is actually true or not, I don't know. It's very hard. You can't compare it to nowadays because nowadays with modern medicine, our births are very different. We can monitor everything. We can check things. We can, you know, it's very different. Okay. V'rabbanan da'amre shevach vladot nami labaal. Now, if the Rabbanan think that the Shevach Vladot, right, this was just Rashbag says Cholkin, according to this. But the Chachamim say Shevach Vladot go to the Baal, my time, where did they learn it from? Kiditznan. It's actually Kiditanya. There's a Braita. Here goes the Braita. Mimashma sheneemar v'yatsu yiladeha, eini yodea shehi hara. It says in the Pasuk, v'nadfui shahara v'yatsu yiladeha. So what do you mean? Why do you need to say she was a pregnant woman? If you say v'yatsu yiladeha, obviously it means she's pregnant. So, ma tamud lomar hara? Lomar lecha shevach harayon labaal. Hara comes to teach you that the value that she is increased in value because she's pregnant, meaning she's heavier, she's fatter, that's going to go to the husband. Right? This is all a good source, by the way, for the fact that it's good to be heavy, you know, that there's like value, right? It's plump, exactly. Plump, have more meat on your body. There's, you know, something to that. More, okay. So now, Rashbag, hi harama darishbe. So what does he do with hara? Since he doesn't think it's coming to teach the Shevach Harayon goes to the Baal, he says it's Cholkin. So what does he do with the extra word hara? Mebaile lechiditanya. He needs it for a different braita. Rabbi Elazar, Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, lo olam eino chayav, ad sheyakena kenege beta harayon. He's only chayav, the Dmei Vladot, if he hits her by the womb. Okay, if he hits her somewhere else, not by the womb, then he's not chayav the dmei v'latel. Let's say he hits her somewhere else and she miscarries. Well, then you can say, oh, you hit me there, I miscarry there. That's not connected. I don't have to pay for that. So, haha comes to teach you, it has to be keneged beit harayim. Amar Papa, Rav Papa wants to modify this statement and say, by the way, lo tema keneged beit harayim mamash, it doesn't mean he actually has to hit the womb itself. Ela kol hecha desalik le'shichma levlad. It's anywhere where the heat of the makah can get to the vlad. In other words, anywhere in the main part of her body, like any of the vital organs. Lafuke, right, to exclude, lafuke yabi regel delo. In other words, if he hits her in her arm or if he hits her on her leg, then she can't claim dmei vladot. But if he hits her anywhere in the core part of her body, then she can claim dmei vladot. It doesn't mean kinege beit harayon, mamash against the womb, but anywhere over there, we can assume it's going to affect the womb. Now we're going to get into this issue of the shibcha having, remember, we said the key issue here isn't the shibcha, it's the husband. The fact that the husband was a ger or an evid, shenishachrer, and he has no yorshim, and therefore, what happens to the money? So according to this, we say patur. So Rabba comes and limits the scope of the Mishnah. I'm a Rabba. Lo shanu ela shechaval ba b'chayei hager, umet hager. It's only in a case where the ger was alive at the time and then died after, before the psak din, basically. Dekevan dechavaba b'chaye hager, zacha b'hu hager. Dekevan demet hager, zacha b'hu min hager. Okay? In the case where the ger was, in theory, zochet to the money, and then he dies, so then the money reverts back to the guy who never paid the money because it was like the gear's possessions, ke'ilu, even though it never got to him. And now it's hefker and it's in his possession now, so it becomes his. But chavava la'achar mitat ha'ger, zachela'i begavayhu. U'mechayev l'shlumei la'ledida. The dmei v'ladot only go to the husband when the husband's alive at the time of the act. The husband wasn't alive at the time of the act, then the guy, of course, has to pay the dmei v'ladot. He just pays it to the woman. Okay, then in the case where she doesn't have a husband at the time, she's going to then get the dmei v'ladot herself. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista totally disagrees with this. Mari dichi? What are you talking about? Atu v'ladot shrarininu v'zachya behu? Is this issue of v'ladot, that you have to pay dmei v'ladot, is it like as if it's money, and therefore we say the ger was zochet to it, and therefore when he dies, it reverts back, it's hefker. Ela, that's not the way it works. This is the way he reads it. Iti leba'al, zacha lerachmana. Leite leba'al, lo. In the case where the ba'al was in existence, then the Torah was mezakeh the ger, and the guy would be chayav. But if the ba'al's not there, in other words, only if the ba'al exists. Now we're going to say, the pasuk said it's about where there's a woman and her husband, and it goes to the husband. If the husband's dead at the time, that she's going to be, the guy's patur legamre. There's no chiyuv. There's actually no chiyuv at all. In other words, what did the Rabba said? Rabba said, if the husband's not there, well, if he wasn't there at the time, then obviously she's zocheh to the money. And somebody gets to play the dmei v'ladot. And he says, no. The Torah only gave this money to the husband in the event that there's a husband. If there's no husband, there's no dmei v'ladot. This, by the way, goes back to what I said earlier, which is, why were you asking me a question about sure paying dmei v'ladot? The whole concept of dmei v'ladot is a chiddush of the Torah, that you're only getting it if you're the husband of a woman, pregnant woman, who got attacked. If you're not the husband of a pregnant woman, because there is no husband, well then, no one gets the money. Okay? In other words, there is no payment at all. That's how he reads it. Okay? So now we're going to have a question. You want to ask something?
So it says at the time, the husband is at the time of the act, not... So she could be married to somebody else who's not the father of the baby.
Oh, that's a good question, right. If she's married to someone who's not the father of the baby, then also maybe you would say the same thing. He wouldn't get it necessarily. I wonder what the halacha would be if they would say, well, he's now the ba'al, even though he wasn't the bo'el. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. If she's pregnant with someone else's baby and married to somebody else. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question.
No, or the guy that she had the baby with died before, and then she got married after like a few months.
Right. It could be. She's right. Exactly. So that would be the same case. So I don't know what the answer would be there. It's a good question. Let's say she's married to someone else. So now they're saying, he says, basically, he's basically disagreeing with the second part of Rabba's statement. which is that, right, in the, what he says is, if the Baal is there, right, ite la Baal, zache la rachmana. In other words, if the Baal existed, then she gets the money that the Baal would have gotten, right? He disagrees in both cases. He says, if the husband was there at the time and now he's dead and we can't pay him, so she gets the money instead of him. He doesn't have Yorshim, so she gets the money. She's the closest Yoresh, even though she's not technically a Yoresh. But in the case where the husband didn't exist, there's actually no payment at all. So now we're going to question Rava's opinion. Meitivei. Hikayte ishav yatsu yeladeha, noten nezek v'tzar la'isha. Here it says it, by the way, explicitly, right? She gets the tzar and the nezek. U'dmev ladot la'ba'al. Okay, and then dmev ladot go to the husband. Ein ha'ba'al, noten liyorshav. If the husband's not in existence, then the yorshim get it. Ein ha'isha, noten liyorshav. If the woman's not in existence, if she dies, then her yorshim get it, right, before the psakdin. Haita shibcha v'nishtachara. Here's the key part for us now. That didn't relate to us. That was just a regular woman. Remember, our case is a shibcha. Haita shibcha v'nishtachara o giyoret. Zacha, what does it mean? Zacha means, right, that the guy never has to pay the payment. He's zoche. So the assumption here is that this would be in the case where, right, Rabbi said, you're chayav in the case of chavava after the guy died. And the assumption right now, which is a weird assumption, is that this case must be where the guy was dead and he didn't exist at the time. So now they say, what do you mean? You can explain this exactly as we explained the Mishnah. It was a case where he was still alive and then he died. And therefore, in that case, there's no payment, and that matches Rava exactly, right? That's what Rava said. Rava said he's patur because it goes to the guy. He has no yorshim. It's hefker. The original guy gets to keep his money. V'ibaitema, another way to understand this contradiction. Lachar mitata ger. It's talking about after the ger dies, utne zachta. You could say it's after the ger was dead, the whole incident occurred. And when it says zacha, it really means zachta. It means she gets to keep it, because that's what he held. So you could change the words and say it's not zacha, it's zachta. And it's referring to the woman, and it's not referring to the guy who attacked. It's referring to her. Okay, now we're going to suggest that there's a machloka tana'im. Of Rabbah and Rav Chista is based on a machloka tana'im. Lema kitunai. By Yisrael sheniseit lager v'nitabra mimenu, v'chabava v'chayeh hager, noten dmev ladot lager. Lachar mitat hager, okay, so there it says, right, you get dmev ladot, go to the ger. Lachar mitat hager, but after he dies, tanechad achayav, v'tanechad apatur. After he dies, what do we see? One says chayav, one says patur. Okay, so now it sounds like they're having the same machloket. So now they say no. L'rabba v'day tanahi. According to Rabbah, there's no way but to say it's a machloka tana'im. That the one who disagrees with him, right, the one who agrees with him would say, lachar mitat hager chayav, right? After, if it's after the ger was dead, well, then he'd be chayav to give it to the woman. And the one who says patur would have to disagree with him. There's no way to read it. But the Rav Chista, we're going to have a few ways that you can read it. Okay? We're going to say, ela the Rav Chista, these are the charts within the chart there, okay, on the second to last chart on the page. Ela the Rav Chista, mi lema tana'ihi. Lokasha harabanan haraban shimon ben Gamliel. You could say it's not a machloket tana'im. It's not a machloket based on what me and Rava are disagreeing about. It's based on the machloket rabanan and Rashbag. I Rashbag my iria lacharmita afilu mechaim. Oh no, one second before we get to that. So how does this work? If you say patur, what are you going to say? Why you patur lachar mitat hager? Because remember what he said? Rabbanan said the shevach ladot all go to the husband. And here the husband's not there. There is no husband, so they don't get it. What did Rashbag say? The shevach ladot they split. So what does he claim? Since the shevach ladot they split, you learn here, even though the dmev ladot go to the Baal, even according to Rashbag, but in a case where the Baal's not there, the part that they're chokim, obviously she gets everything, because she already had a part of it, we can assume she gets it all. And even she gets the dmev ladot, because once she's the inyanim of some payment here, we're going to assume it includes everything, and she gets it all. Whereas Rabbanan would say, no, the shevach ladot, everything goes to the husband, and therefore she's not a part of this at all. If he has no yorshim, the guy's patur. Okay, so that's how you can explain the one that says patur and the one who says chayav. So now they say, wait, but I Rashbag, My iria la acharmita, afilu michayim nami. If you say Rashbag, it shouldn't matter if the event happened after he died. It should be even if he was alive at the time. So nami ilach palga mechayim, right? That he still had half when he was still alive, and ilach palga. Afilu mechayim. Nami itlach palga. So what do they answer? Mechayim itlach palga la'achar mita kule. So they say, no, there's a difference, mechayim. When he's still alive, he gets half. When he dies, then she gets the whole thing. And that's going to be the difference. Sorry, it's not if he's still, it's even if he's alive at the payment, right? She should still get part. So now they're saying, what it's trying to say is, chayav here means she gets everything, whereas if he were still alive, she'd only get part. The Ibait Ema, you could say, Hava HaRashbag, that both of them hold like Rashbag. Okay, there's another way Rav Chisda could read this. And yet it's not a machloga between me and Rabba, okay? It's all, I could explain it all according to Rashbag. Kam b'shevach v'ladot, b'kam b'dmei v'ladot. Okay, what would you say? That the shevach v'ladot, because you're chulkin, so she gets them. And that's the chayav. But the Dmei Vladot we're going to distinguish and say, well, that all went to the Baal, even according to Rashbag. So the Dmei Vladot was the Braita that said, you're patur. He's patur from Dmei Vladot. He doesn't have to give those to the husband at all. Okay, we'll go on a little bit more, and then we'll stop for today. So now they're going to say, now we're going to have a machloket, a problem with Rav Chisda, according to both Perushim. Amre mishevach Vladot lishma Dmei Vladot, umid Rashbag lishma l'Rabbanan. Now we're going to say that Rabbanan and Rashbag are really only disagreeing with who gets, right, whether you're Chulkin or not, right, about the Dmei Vladot. But now we're going to say, but the fact that, what are we assuming now? That maybe they're arguing about in a case where the husband dies. But they weren't arguing about that. They were just arguing about when the husband's alive, do we split it or not? But why don't we just make an assumption that if you pay the Shevach Vladot, if in the case where you're chokim in the Shevach Vladot, we made a jump before, what did we say according to the first reading? Since we're chokim here and the woman has some part of it, right, we're going to give her the husband's part of the Dmei Vladot, right? So why don't we necessarily make that jump, which disagrees with the second explanation, which we said we distinguish between the two. And then why don't we say this is all Rashbag? But the Rabbanan would agree, even though Rabbanan think that the Dmei Vladot and the Shevach Vladot go to the husband, but in the case that the husband's not there, who's to say he disagrees with Rashbag? And maybe he thinks also it goes to the woman. Okay, so why are we assuming that they're arguing about whether the woman gets it in the event of death? They were just arguing when the guy's alive. Who gets what? They weren't arguing, like, why make their argument broader than it actually is? So what are the answer? Amre, lo shevach, lo, not the case. Why? Shevach ladot de shaycha yada begavayhu, zach yabuhu bekulu. You could make a distinction and say, look, shevach ladot, she had a piece of it, and therefore she gets all of it when he dies. But dmei vladot de lo shaycha yada begavayhu, lo zach yabuhu klal. But when it comes to the Dmei Vladot, you could say, look, she had absolutely no share in that. Again, back to the Pasuk was only, right, to the husband. So you could say, either according to Chachamim or according to Rashbag, if you distinguish between Dmei Vladot and Shevach Vladot, the Dmei Vladot she had no part of at all. And therefore, you could claim that therefore she doesn't get it at all. Okay, that's a reason to distinguish. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with, we're going to get into other issues about property of a ger when he dies. And what happens to his property? And, you know, let's say you have a shtar. The first question is going to be about a document. You have a document. Now, a document, remember, has no inherent value. So, let's say you're machzik, the document of a shtar that says somebody owes him land to pay back a loan. So, are you allowed to say, well, now I own the land or not? Are you machzik the shtar? Are you machzik, or you just machzik a piece of paper, which doesn't have any mushroom. Okay, so we'll talk about that tomorrow.